Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Obviously, want to wish the Bruins well in their Stanley Cup final. This will be a great opportunity for them, and we'll be here. We'll be here cheering them on.
Dale Arnold.
Not going to drain mentally for practices.
We're talking about practice.
That's how I train. It's practice.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
Rich Key.
KD and I have texted.
I get text messages all the time.
We've texted for 2-3 hours straight. Players, coaches, owners. Text me.
Dale and Keith.
My single greatest fear from the Bruins' perspective.
Spiders.
Yeah. Snakes, it may be even more.
So, snakes are much worse than spiders.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Talking about the Stanley Cup Final, which begins Monday here at the Garden. Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. And Jeff O'Neill will join us at the bottom of the hour and say really bad things about Andrew Raycroft.
Yeah.
We'll probably have to delete off the air.
We might have to dump it. Have that ready to go, Rossi.
Because he sometimes gets a little rambunctious.
Yeah, he does.
Specifically about Andrew.
I like his passion, though. I like his energy. He was great in the first round we had him on, so I'm looking forward to talking to him again.
So we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour, but we want to get back to this... Patrice Bergeron, we were talking about Bergeron and Marchand, and how do they compare to the iconic duos of some of the recent really strong Stanley Cup teams, or Stanley Cup finalists at least. And Bruce Cassidy brought up an interesting point when he was talking about Patrice Bergeron. Now, as I said, we joke sometimes. If you saw the latest edition of Behind the Bee, there was this scene, they finish off Carolina. Zdeno Chara goes out on the ice. He's hugging Patrice. Patrice is out there. Now they go in the dressing room. And Chara has on FaceTime on his phone. He's holding up his phone with FaceTime with Chris Wagner, who's back in Boston after he got hurt, so that Wagner can hear what Bruce Cassidy says.
Yeah.
And he's got the FaceTime going. And because Wagner had been given the game puck by his teammates after game three, he gets to give the game puck for after game four, and he says, you know, great job by Noel coming back into the lineup, good job by John Moore playing for, and he says, but I've got to go with Mr. Perfect, and they all start screaming.
Yeah, they all go nuts, yeah.
Because that's what they think of Bergeron.
Sounds like something the Celtics would do, right?
Very
FaceTime
similar.
In a teammate, have
so
a,
that
an
he
honor
can
like
feel
that.
Like he's part of the whole thing.
They probably stole it from them, actually.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So this got to the point where Bruce Cassidy was talking about Patrice Bergeron, and just what kind of player and legacy he's building here.
Can you just, Bruce, talk about your controversial decision to pull Tuukka in the scrimmage?
Yeah, it was set up. He was going to play a period. Got his work in. And that was it. That was the decision for him. If he wanted to play the whole thing.
What was this? What was that?
I think we got...
That was Tuukka-rass. That was a different cut altogether.
It went better in rehearsal.
But that was Bruce Cassidy, at least.
It
could have been somebody for all... It could have been, you know, Bobcat Goldthwait, for all we know. There's a lot of different cuts back there. Let's go with the one
just
that we wanted.
Just throwing you for a loop.
Let's try
Falls
the one
anywhere Friday. We play cuts we want
Let's
back
Let's try the one that we wanted.
Well, as far as... Starting with the Bruins, right? He's probably... Because he was drafted here and started 18, there's Z, of course, too, the captain. But Z came from another organization. So Bergie has a little different beginning than a Bergie in that regard. So he's probably, if you look at that whole process from beginning to now, the face of the franchise for the last, whatever, X amount of years. So that's what he has in the market. How does that compare to Brady? Well, Brady has 6, right? I got it right. 6 Super Bowl rings. So, Bergie's a ways away from that, unfortunately. For him, good for the Patriots. As for the Red Sox, it's a good question. I don't know who would be. Is it Pedroia maybe? But he's kind of now not as Mookie's starting to become the young guy that's maybe past us. So I gotta believe with the Celtics they've had some turnover. So Bergie, I don't know. You guys tell me. You cover it more than I do. Would he be the second most or that's something you guys can debate, I guess. But certainly up there.
It got us thinking about it.
It did.
Now the key here is currently playing.
Current athletes.
Because, now, for instance, Rob Gronkowski just retired because he would be on that list.
Oh, he'd be number one. Well, besides Brady.
Right.
So are we going with, you know, most popular, most beloved? I guess maybe those are the same thing. Or like the biggest icon, like face of the team. I mean, I guess it's all roughly about the same. And it's interesting that he brought that up, because obviously Brady, it's not even a competition. So you put Brady off to the side. And, like, I don't think anybody
he's
will ever
retired
touch
the
that.
Award. Yes.
Yeah, it's insane. I do think Gronk would have been second, but we're going to remove him from this list because this is going to be
current. I'd make an
players.
Argument about Bergeron ahead of Gronk, but that's beside
would
the
you
point.
Really?
Just because of the length of the career. And, you know, here is an 18-year-old kid drafted by the organization, has been here for, you know, 16 years with the same organization.
I think football players automatically have a leg up over everybody else, well, because of how popular the sport is.
And obviously football is much more popular.
And I think the number of Super Bowls, too, is just over the top.
Yep.
Bergeron's won one cup. You know, Gronk has won three Super Bowls. I just think that stands
out
more.
He has three titles. He didn't play in one of them, right?
Okay, so he's on the team for those. So if you want to take one away, fine. But still, he is the best tight end of all time. Bergeron, not the best center of all time.
Sure.
Right? I just think, and I think the personality is a big factor, too. That's why I think guys like Bergeron and Chara might be a little bit lower on my list, just because they don't really say
much.
They just
go
do
about
job.
Their business.
Right, and I think that's what sort of helped Gronk.
Although
become
Brady
who he is.
Doesn't really say much. I mean, he has to talk all the time.
Again,
but
just,
he doesn't really say much.
But so different.
I know.
You know, I mean,
he is the best who's ever played.
Right, and he's also
at his
a,
position, maybe best who's ever played the game.
Well, he's also a celebrity, too. Like, he's on, like, on another level from these guys. So now that Gronk has retired, if you were coming up with a top five, and Cassidy would have Bergeron at the top of his list, where would you go? Who would you have as number one now that Brady's... Or put Brady aside, and now that Gronk's out, who would you have number one out of the four teams?
I would have Bergeron number one.
Oh, see, I would have Julian Edelman number one.
I think Bergeron has been a better player at his sport, at his game. Like, as I said, I think Bergeron's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, but I don't
love some Julian Edelman. I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he should not go to the Hall of Fame. But I don't think this list is just about rank the best players. Because Chara's had a better career than Bergeron has. I think that Julian Edelman, again, football, you're going to get sort of a notch ahead of everybody else. You're on the Patriots. So what are the big personalities? How many Super Bowls have you won? He's a Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
Right? You know, Bergeron wasn't the Conn Smythe winner when they won it the first time. And he's not going to be this time either. And I just think the popularity, like, if you polled the city, The number of people who own a Julian Edelman jersey versus a Patrice Bergeron sweater, I think it is way tipped in the scale of Julian Edelman jerseys.
I don't know the answer to that.
I'm pretty confident in that. You see Edelman jerseys all over the place.
It's also the type of shirt and material and stuff like that. People aren't walking
the
around.
The material?
Look,
what are
people aren't walking
the
around sweaters in the middle of the summer. Where
when
people
you go to Bruins
wear
games, you see a lot of Bruins sweaters.
But I bet you more football fans are spending money on jerseys than hockey fans.
That's sort of my point, too, is like the football, you automatically have a leg up. Like you're automatically going to have the benefit of the doubt, I think, over those other guys. The football players are more popular than any of the other three teams, right? And who besides Brady is the most popular Patriot?
Edelman is. It was Gronk. It still technically could be Gronk, but
right. I mean, if people were filling this out, he hasn't not played yet, you know. But
Dale's still holding on. That's why he won't take Gronk off the list yet. He knows.
I understand he's retired, but just retired. I would have had him number two on the list, but I understand you can't do that.
But you would have had Bergeron over Gronk?
No, no, no. I'm saying Gronk would have been.
Oh, okay, okay.
But he's retired, so we're not counting him.
I actually think Mookie Betts is more popular than Patrice Bergeron.
I totally disagree.
He won an MVP, won a World Series.
He's great.
He's super
love everything
cool.
About him.
I think he's the most popular Red Sox since Ortiz. I know that was only a couple of years, but I think he's the most popular guy.
He's certainly on the path. He just hasn't had enough time. He'd be on my list of the five, you know, most iconic Boston athletes. I wouldn't have him ahead of Bergeron on the list. I'm with Cassidy on that one.
Yeah, I mean, he's been here a super long time, but I don't know. I think part of it is also he's pretty quiet. Like, I don't remember a single thing that he has ever said. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. For better or for worse. I mean, you can look at that either way. Like, great. He never screws up, never says anything controversial, never gets into trouble, always speaks highly of the opponent, always speaks highly of his teammates. Fine. But I think when you're really looking for big time popular guys like in every sport, usually there's something you can kind of hang your hat on.
But what about Betts? What is his memorable
comments? Yeah, I was
going to
say, has Mookie Betts ever said anything?
Yeah, he's a good time. He doesn't want to be here. See, he could go down off that list. He could go the Kyrie version if he doesn't sign here, obviously, or if it gets kind of ugly. But it really hasn't. I thought it was going to be a bigger story than it's been. But it just hasn't. I do think hockey and baseball both are harder to keep up with the other sports as far as just these guys getting out there and just overall popularity. The Celtics, though, have had such a... They ended on such a sour note.
We don't have anybody, do we?
Nobody who would on make, that team is
I mean,
popular.
Their best player, obviously, is Kyrie, but...
People hate him. People don't even want him back.
He's only been here a couple of years.
But even still, if they went to the NBA Finals this year, I think Kyrie Irving would easily be in the top five. People would be obsessed with Kyrie Irving. But no. In fact, we ran a poll not that long ago. Do you want him back? Just simple as that. Do you want him back? And more people said no than
75%
yes.
75%
said way
no.
Way more people said no. So he's nowhere near that list. Like, who's the most popular Celtic right now? Most popular. Is it Marcus Smart?
Yeah, Marcus Smart.
It might be Marcus Smart. And he wouldn't be in the top eight.
First team all defense, though.
He was. First team all defense. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, he's got that going for him. No, I think Bergeron's more popular than him. I think Chara's more popular than him. I think Marchand's more popular than him. That might be the list for the Bruins. And then for the Patriots, it's definitely Edelman. Maybe someone like Devin McCourty, who's been here for so long. No? You're shaking your head?
I think no. I think I'd put the Bruins players over Devin McCourty.
Well, yeah, no, those Texter three, said, I'm saying. Those, just those three, though.
Texter says, Dale, you sound like a clown.
in your face.
There's no way Patrice Bergeron is more popular than Edelman or Mookie Betts. Put your hockey bias away.
That was me texting him because you weren't listening.
You know,
so
we could just talk. I'm sitting right here, you know, 4 feet away. Look, I, especially Mookie, even if I give you Edelman.
Yeah. I'm taking Edelman. You don't have to give me Edelman.
No, that's fine. Even if I acknowledge Edelman, there's no way I think that Mookie Betts is a more iconic athlete in Boston than Bergeron is.
I think part of it to me is
part of it is definition of terms, I guess.
It is, yeah. Oh, it's definitely, you know, up to each person. But I think part of it, the sport kind of almost ranks you where, anyway. Like, it's just such an advantage to be on the Patriots. And then there's a gap. And then to me, I think it's still the Red Sox as far as the most popular team. Then there's a gap. And then there's Celtics and Bruins fight. And whoever's better kind of takes that. And the Bruins are better. So the Bruins are ahead of the Celtics right now. And then if you go within each team, like who are the most popular guys on each team? The Patriots guys should dominate just because of how obsessed everybody is with them.
I'd have a hard time giving you any Patriot name after Edelman. I mean, I understand Devin McCourty and you know, Matthew Slater's been here a long time,
yeah,
and everybody loves him.
I think somebody else will emerge because it was Gronk for so long. It was Brady, Gronk, Edelman. Like the three,
absolutely.
Those are the top three guys in the city. And so now it's Brady and Edelman. This year,
I'd have a hard time giving you another name ahead of Bergeron. On that list.
Yeah, because Gilmore's too quiet. I think Gilmore's really quiet. He's really good. Like, he's an unbelievable player. But, I mean, Belichick probably becomes the...
Do you know what count I mean? That
like,
one?
No, I don't think you do. But, like, he would be the next guy on that list as far as people who they want. I think, like, there's just room for it. Like, there's an opportunity there, you know, to sort of take that mantle as most popular. You know, but you're right. I think it'd be interesting to see what the Patriots... like jersey sales are. That's just like one way of gauging popularity. If you looked at the
Patriots
jersey sales.
I never understand why Brady's always so high on the list. By now, wouldn't you have one?
You wear them out. You want to get another one.
Yeah.
But that would be an interesting question for like the pro shop people. It's like now that, well, whenever they stop selling Gronk jerseys, who else is going to be up there? Like McCourty, James White? Like I don't know where you go. Like it's going to be a little bit
Sony Michel. You might think it's
maybe, yeah, maybe.
Mikhail Harry. You never know. People might be jumping
on
the bandwagon.
Like that position
might be a little early, but you don't know. It could.
Why not get it now? You never know what's going to happen.
I don't think he has an official number yet.
No, I don't think so. He was wearing number one at the rookie symposium thing. Can't wear that.
One of the things that you heard Bruce Cassidy bring up is, you know, would it be Pedroia?
Hell no.
And obviously, and he even sort of hinted at it, and then he backed away from
it. Yeah, he's like, well, wait a minute.
He's not
talking
really
it out.
Playing right now.
Well, it's tricky, too, because if you, there are different questions. I'm just looking at, like, what's each one of these players' popularity
stock? He's got three World Series titles, right?
Right now. Yeah, but, well, did he get a title last year? It's like the Edelman argument.
And the same
but
thing
even
with Gronkowski.
Yeah, so I just think where people are on him now. Like, if you did this poll 10 years ago, I think Pedroia would be super high.
Is it Pedroia, maybe?
No.
But he's kind of, you know, now
not as Mookie start become
not as
the
much.
Younger.
That is what.
I want to know what
worry. There's no room for
fill
him.
In the blank.
There's no room for him on the team. But, no, he's way lower. Now, it's a different question altogether to say, all right, take all of these Boston athletes' careers and, like, compare their careers. I'm just saying right now where they're at. I would say Chris Sale would be a guy in the top five. I think people love Chris Sale. How he ended the World Series, how dominant he's been, especially in the
would
first half.
Would you think he'd be ahead of Bergeron in the Boston marketplace? Because I don't.
I have him below Bergeron, but probably above Chara and Marchand, even though those guys have been here longer.
Right.
Just because he's the top guy. He's the best pitcher on the Red Sox. And he's an easy guy to root for. He's a fun guy to watch. He strikes out a million guys. So I think Chris Sale would be ahead of a couple of them. But no, not Bergeron.
It's hard to come up with. And you know, I was looking at my list.
Yeah.
To your point about, you know, say something. You know, be out there. Be a very good player. Yeah. But, you know, well, Marchand would be that guy, right?
Yeah, he would
really
be.
Good player and you know, controversial in that respect.
Yeah, I think he's super popular. Like Marchand and Chara is kind of an interesting debate, right? Like two very different kind of personalities in how they play. Both I think are beloved by the fans here, but I guess it depends on what you like. You know, like if you like the guy that's kind of chirpy and somebody who you know that you wouldn't like if he was on another team, but because he's on
your
team,
guy.
You don't like him, then yeah, it's a little bit different.
617-779-7937. It was Cassidy who brought it up and got us talking about it off the air.
Yeah.
And we brought the discussion on the air. I understand that football is far and away. It's a bigger deal than the other three sports combined, probably. I mean, it's literally almost that big.
The last 10 years, and it's crazy because of how good the other three teams have been, but they just get completely overshadowed.
And we started with the premise that, forget Brady, we already know he's retired the award. We're not talking about
him. After him.
After Edelman, I don't know that they've got another one. Despite the popularity, how big a deal football is, you know, Michelle probably hasn't been here long enough.
No, he definitely hasn't. And because you think back, too, and like there's... Over the last several years, there's guys that were at the top that have moved on, and I don't know if they've been replaced. Like David Ortiz, Paul Pierce, and then now obviously
Rob
Gronk.
Gronkowski.
Right. Like those guys were easy. Like you're like, oh yeah, these guys are super popular. And now that they're gone, as Cassidy points out, the Celtics have had so much turnover. And if you had this poll at the beginning of the year, Kyrie's probably on there.
Yes.
But after what happened, I don't think anybody feels good about any of those guys.
Would Hightower be higher on the list than...
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. He's
behind Edelman, obviously. But
yeah, behind Edelman. I don't know how you would rank Devin McCourty. He's also been here a super long time.
Right.
But yeah,
Matthew
Hightower,
Slater has
Hightower
too.
Yeah, exactly. Hightower should be on there somewhere.
Steven Guskowski's been here a long time.
I know, you might be on your list.
Yeah, I know. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Keith.
Mark.
You had mentioned, you know, you like to see the comparison in jersey sales between the Patriots and the Bruins. You really can't do that because the Patriots are more or less a regional team as opposed to the Bruins are just like the city of Boston and the suburbs.
I disagree. Who do they root for in New Hampshire?
Maine? Hold on. Can you let me finish?
Well, I think your point's stupid, so I'm going to jump in here because it's our show.
You got Patriots.
You're suggesting that the Patriots,
Rhode Island,
so you're
Connecticut.
Oh yeah, the Bruins hate the Bruins are only a Boston team. I forgot. People only live in Boston
for
them.
Yes, you did.
You said the Patriots are New England's team. The Bruins are Boston's team. That's ridiculous, Mark. Who do they root for in Providence?
They probably root for the Patriots and the
Bruins.
All
right, so what's your point? What's your point here?
No, I'm saying the point in jersey sales. You can't go by that.
Why not?
Of course, the Patriots are going to dominate.
Why not? That's the point.
They have more states involved.
Mark. Who do they root for in New Hampshire? What hockey team do they root for in New Hampshire?
I didn't mention New Hampshire, but
I'm asking you, what team do they root for in New Hampshire?
Probably the Bruins.
Probably.
Mark, you're out
probably
of your mind.
Come on, Mark.
You're making my point. So the Patriots, because it says New England, everybody's going to buy them. It's the same damn thing. They're all Boston teams. They're all New England teams.
Well, it does.
It's come on.
You know what? I always said when the Patriots win a Super Bowl, have the parade in Foxborough. That's what I say.
I don't care that you said that. That makes no sense right now. So now they're Foxborough's team? What kind of argument is that?
I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Mark got tied up with the fact that their name is New England Patriots as opposed to Boston Bruins.
They have the exact same fan bases.
Right.
My point was...
5.5 states of New England.
Right. And if he's saying you can't compare the jersey sales because football is more popular, well, that's the point.
That's kind of the point.
There's also more than baseball t-shirts or basketball jerseys. It's going to be Patriots. So if they have a few guys that are really popular, they're automatically going to be better than, and in my mind, than the most popular guy on those other teams. And I'm pretty sure at the tippy top of Maine, they are rooting for the Bruins, Patriots, Celtics,
pretty
and Red
much
Sox.
Promise. I'm yeah, pretty, I'm that, pretty that sure. doesn't change much. There's it's
come
he,
on.
He got tied up with the name of
that's
the team.
So ridiculous. Well, that's everybody. You got people in Nashua are buying their. Oh yeah, yeah. They don't like the Bruins up in Manchester, New Hampshire. I didn't realize.
When the preseason, when the Bruins do their little caravan,
yeah.
and they take several players and they truck around New England, yeah. They're pretty popular when they go to Burlington,
I think so.
Vermont.
Yep, I think
the folks in Manchester really like them a lot.
That's correct.
When they're in Portland, yep. A lot of hockey fans come out to see them there too.
I feel like these New England teams are liked in every state and half of Connecticut.
Funny, yeah. Now from Hartford over,
fine. You got me.
Yeah, they're not that popular there. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jeff O'Neill's going to join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup Final with him. He lost us there. He really did. He tried to derail us as much as Rossi did earlier by playing the wrong
Rossi
Bruce Cassidy
tried to, but
cut.
We are professionals, no, Dale, and we're working to let that happen.
It's a false count anywhere. You guys call for a cut. Who knows where I'm going to play?
That's a good point.
That's not a big good plan.
No,
I'm just saying.
I don't like that.
We'll get to the calls with you guys. We'll talk to Jeff O'Neill in just a couple of minutes after we trend.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If we gave wrestling fans 100 guesses...
They wouldn't get this one. No chance. I don't know this one.
I didn't.
Rossi had to tell me.
Until Rossi told us.
The Goon. He was a very short-lived 1994 character.
So my favorite part of the early to mid-90s wrestling was everybody had to have like a job. Like there was, there was everything. And so now they bring in the Goon.
Repo Man.
Repo Man was a good one. Like everybody like, what's your job? Like, okay, there you go. The dentist. All kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, dentist. You said Trash Man, Repo Man.
All good. Like you needed like a radio guy.
Tax man.
There was a tax man.
There have been several
of
those.
He made it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made it work. IRS was fantastic. A clown.
Well, back in the day.
A Mountie.
Vince and the headquarters.
Yeah.
Used to be at the Cape Cod Coliseum. Site of a minor league hockey team. And, you know, he sort of became entrenched in the whole minor league hockey scene as well.
I saw there was old pictures floating around of Glenn Ordway doing interviews with Vince McMahon from like the 80s. It was like forever ago. And like, because like that was way before WWF was super popular. And so he was just trying to get as much promotion as he can. So it's a young Glenn with a young Vince McMahon breaking it down.
Did he have the porn star mustache still, Glenn?
Because
there are a couple.
Yes,
where.
He did.
Yeah, of course he did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hit Glenn on my wrestling podcast.
I think
about
you should.
That.
I bet he's got some good stories with all that stuff. I guarantee you that he does.
We are having issues reaching, getting in connection with Jeff O'Neill. I promise you that as soon as we do, we'll make contact and bring him on the air with us. He was the guy you'll remember. He covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's an analyst with TSN, covering Maple Leafs broadcasts, TSN hockey programs. He's got a radio show in Toronto. But the reason we were initially drawn to him was he's the one who up there before the Bruins Maple Leafs series said, I don't see this going past five games.
He had a hard time putting it in his day planner is what he said.
Yeah.
And those guys, the guys next to him were saying, well, that went 7 last year. And he goes, that has nothing to do with anything. That was his line to them. That won me over completely. And we had him on and he was good. So I am curious, though, to get a little bit more. And obviously we've had so much time now that you knew the Bruins were in the final, and then it's been a few days now where you know it's going to be the St. Louis Blues, so you're trying to do a little bit more legwork on the Blues. You're like, all right, I think I got them kind of figured out to this point. You know, they got some good, they have better players than Carolina does. They do. And Binnington is on a hell of a run. I still don't think he's Sergei Bobrovsky, but he's definitely better than Mrazek and McElhinney. So, like, it is more challenging in that regard.
Not as good as Bobrovsky, but it's certainly better than those others.
That's what I'm saying.
And Frederik Andersen probably should be better than Binnington, but he wasn't.
Yeah, and he also had worse defense in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Andersen does that compared to Binnington. So, I mean, that's a big advantage for the Bruins, obviously, and having Tuukka Rask.
So the Bruins attempted to try to recreate kind of without the hitting, sort of a hockey atmosphere last night at the Garden.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool for the fans. Like, they got to go in, $20. They
fans
got to root on their guys. But I don't know. The few images I saw of it and the video that I saw of it, it looked really kind of laissez-faire.
Well, they didn't even have numbers on.
Yeah,
they had their practice jerseys on without numbers.
That's kind of
all of
weird.
That stuff. Jeff O'Neill, as we said, is one of the analysts for the Toronto Maple Leafs on TSN. He's got a radio show up there as well. And he says really mean things about my friend Andrew Raycroft. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Just living the dream, played a round of golf, sitting in a mall. You know, doing the fun stuff in life.
Is that the Canadian dream?
What's the American dream? Being in the Stanley Cup Finals, I guess?
Yeah, it's probably more. Now, do you become a basketball fan now that the Raptors are one game away from an NBA Finals?
I mean, I don't think you can help but to be. They got an opportunity if they win on Saturday night to go to the NBA Finals. And I think I consider Toronto to be a big market, but in the NBA circles, it's considered the little guys up in the north. So it's pretty exciting for the city with an opportunity. Ultimately, I think that whoever gets to the finals to play Golden State is going to get spanked. But, it'd be great for the city if they can get there.
Now, what can you tell us about the St. Louis Blues? What is their biggest strength here going into the series?
Two things. They much like the Boston Bruins, their depth is incredible. The way their lines are described, if you call it the fourth line, second line, third line, they're all really good. Obviously, the top-end talent makes their first and second line special with guys like Shen and Tarasenko. They're really good. But their fourth line, I think at one point in the series against San Jose, they scored four games in a row. It might be five. But they grind, they work, they punish you. I describe this series, guys, as a coin flip. It's like, you know, which goaltender for 2 weeks or however long the series goes can get hot? Is it going to be Tarasenko or Pasternak that gets hot? Is it, which D pairing for a team can get hot? It's like a power play, a penalty kill, somebody struggling. It's just that close. They're evenly matched. They're both well-coached. Goaltending, everything is top-notch for both teams. I think it's going to be a heck of a series.
There's been a heated discussion in these parts here of late about Zdeno Chara, who is, 42 years old, the oldest professional athlete in the Boston area, just ahead of Tom Brady in that regard. And how much
heated debate about?
Well, there are those who say that he doesn't have much game left. What do you think?
I think that's ridiculous. Every time I think that I had to tee up the Bruins Maple Leaf series, and there were some clips where I noticed that sometimes during a game, and this is just a fact, this is not being critical, but he can get exposed at times. If he's out there a long time or he's logging a lot of minutes and the transition is going one way and he kind of gets caught flat-footed, but that's almost with every defenseman. So there are times in a game where he might look a little sluggish, but how many guys in the league, how many times have you seen, I don't even know if they keep a stat on this, where he looks like he's dead in the water and he just turns around and swats the puck away from somebody? He's so valuable for them on the penalty kill. Can he have moments in a game where he can be exposed? Of course, I think everybody can. But for the most part, you're getting a real quality player every shift, and a guy that competes and has length, reach, and he's pretty nasty. So, like everyone else, there are moments where he can be exposed, but I don't think it's like a situation where, oh, where are we going to put Zdeno Chara on the ice?
Do you think Patrice Bergeron's had a Hall of Fame career?
Oh, my God. Is that a joke? That's kind of a joke, right?
No. I mean, do you think he's automatically in the Hall of Fame?
Automatically. He's non-negotiable for me. I've played against Gretzky, Lemieux, Yzerman, Crosby. He is one of my favorite players of all time. I just, the only way I can describe him is this perfect hockey player. Positionally, the way he passes. One thing he's got is a real underrated shot. He's got a sneaky, heavy shot. But I love that guy. I got a man crush on that guy. He's so good. I just, watching him from the press box, I was just blown away. It was just, he's the perfect hockey player, always on the right side of the puck. He's got these little sneaky ways of stealing pucks from guys. He is unbelievable. And for me, he is a slam dunk automatic Hall of Famer, like not even a question.
When Brad Marchand is playing for the Boston Bruins, I know hockey fans in Canada don't like him. When he's playing for Team Canada, they sort of like him a lot. Yeah. He must pose real problems for hockey fans north of the border.
I don't think so. I think it's, whenever someone claims they dislike somebody, there's usually an element of jealousy involved, don't you think?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, wow. If it was just some guy that was a stiff on the fourth line that could hardly play, they'd be like, who cares about that guy? But he's so good and so talented and can be so irritating at the same time. Everyone's like, God, I can't stand that guy. But when they say that, the element of jealousy comes into play, and that's where it comes from. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world. I thought he should have had a lot of heart love this year as far as the nominations, but that's just the way it goes. When you're that good and you're that irritating, you kind of bug people. But I think he's fascinating to watch. He's an awesome talent.
If you were to give out the Conn Smythe right now to somebody other than Tuukka Rask, who would you give it to?
Jaden Schwartz or Binnington. Trying to think on Boston, is if there's anybody else that's been real dialed in. I think Marchand, you know, Bergeron. But I think Tuukka Rask is a guy. Binnington's a guy. Schwartz is a guy. Schwartz, Binnington, and Rask would be my three guys right now.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the Bruins' run to the Stanley Cup Final, it started with the Toronto series, went through Columbus, and then through Carolina. Could you make the argument that their path to a Stanley Cup has gotten easier as they've gone along?
I'll tell you what. I think that if you ask them in a private moment when this thing was over, if they won it, you know, could there be a more ideal situation? Obviously, they had a seven-game series with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but after that, if you had said, give me Columbus and then give me Carolina, they would have said, oh, really? And then you look at the heavyweights that have gone out. I mean, teams that I thought were legit contenders. San Jose just went out. Winnipeg, Nashville. It was like just teams kept up. Pittsburgh bounced in the first round. Washington gets beat by Carolina. You're just like all these teams. I always say there's like these seven or eight teams that have a real good opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. And then a bunch of them are out. You got to be licking your chops saying, we really got to take advantage of this opportunity. Because I think in other years going forward, all those kind of heavyweights or contenders, they usually stick around for a while.
What do you think this is like for David Backes, who finally gets to go to a cup final, and it happens to be against St. Louis?
It's emotion-wise, I think it's going to be a bit of a difficult thing to handle. You got to get your hate on, I think, right away. I think I read something the other day that Pietrangelo texted him and said maybe we'll be friends in a couple weeks. He didn't even write back. So I like that mindset for him. It's always difficult. I mean, that first game back against your old teammates is a little bit awkward. But the idea of knowing that in 2 weeks possibly you're shaking hands, either a winner or a loser, against the guys you went to war with every night, that's just a different element for him and something that he's going to have to deal with. But he's a warrior and a guy that's been around a long time. I'm sure he's going to be ready to go.
Jeff, we appreciate you talking hockey with us again. By the way, I did pass on your message to Andrew Raycroft last night after we texted each other.
Yeah, go kick him right in the pills for me, would you?
Who do you got in the series, by the way, Jeff, before we let you go? Who do you got and how many games?
You know what? I think it's a coin flip. I think it's going to go seven, and I'm not going to tell you my pick. How about that?
Oh, wow.
How about that? Tease. Jeez.
Well, I'll figure it out. Are you guys stupid or what? What do you think?
No, I got it. You're smart. You're a smart man. All right. Fair enough.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Jeff O'Neill from TSN.
I am a little stupid, to answer your question.
Thank
but,
you, Jeff.
But Jeff O'Neill,
pointing that out to the entire radio audience.
He's going St. Louis Blues.
No, I don't think that's where
games.
He's going. No, I think he likes
it. Why wouldn't
he
say it?
What do you mean he's not going there?
I think, well, he's on the Boston radio station, and he picked a team to win in seven. I think what he's saying is.
No, but he said he wouldn't say it. So who do you think he's picking?
I think he's picking Boston.
Wait, what? Then why would he say it?
I think he's
don't
saying
think
Blues.
I think, he's
I think he didn't want to say
I think he's 100% saying
I'm
the
gonna
Blues.
I'm going to text him
he's
right
a coward.
Now.
He's
you tell him, okay?
I was about to, but I thought I'd get in trouble.
I definitely read it as Blues, right?
Just say
why
whatever
else
you want.
Would he say
we're done with him.
Yeah, all right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Believe it or not, there's someone out there who wants to make the case about the Celtics lost the Kyrie trade. Now, it's a little late for that because it happened a couple of years ago, but there's someone who said they lost. We'll get into that when we come back. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
One and only.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. So I'm not even sure why, if you're Dan Gilbert, you even bring this up, but...
Dan Gilbert is an idiot.
Okay, that's why. Okay.
He's an idiot,
okay, now
Dale, so you don't know what he's going to say at any time. And apparently, Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, spoke to Terry Pluto of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Isn't that one of Michael's buddies?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Michael's friend,
yeah,
with Terry, yeah, Pluto. And he had a couple of things to say. There's a couple of different ways to take a look at this. But Dan Gilbert says, I don't know, but I think Kyrie will leave Boston. And then he goes on to say, we could have ended up with nothing. Looking back after all the moves Kobe made, we killed it in that trade. So he is suggesting that the Cleveland Cavaliers, who went to, at that time, three straight finals and had won a final, and now Kyrie was getting a little upset. He wanted out, had 2 years left on his deal, demanded a trade, and rather than trying to work it out with him,
right,
or I think get more in a trade, they ended up trading him to their top competition. Now, I guess fortunate for Cleveland, it didn't. Kyrie got hurt and wasn't able to knock them out of the finals,
right?
So they still got another finals appearance out of it. So Dan Gilbert does have that going for him, but they gave up 2 years of Kyrie Irving, where they were the head and shoulders best team in the Eastern Conference. They traded that for Isaiah Thomas, who unfortunately was damaged goods, Jay Crowder, who is a very average NBA player, Ante Zizic, who's, I don't even think, an NBA player, and the number 8 pick in the draft that turned into Colin Sexton. So, and then they ended up getting rid of all those guys with the exception of Colin Sexton. So, would you rather have Colin Sexton?
Killed it. They killed it.
Killed it?
Oh, killed
it. How'd
you
kill it?
I don't know.
First of all, I think you could have gotten more for a guy who, oh, by the way, was just named to the All-NBA second team. I think you could have gotten more for Kyrie Irving, but also, we'll see if he re-signs. I don't think he will, but if he does, it's a little bit different. But I don't know how you can say you killed it. Because wouldn't you have just either tried to figure out a way to keep those guys together, and then maybe you actually give Golden State more of a run in the NBA Finals, instead you just get absolutely blitzed? Because what was their backup plan? They got rid of Kyrie. Who was their second best player on that team? Anybody? Bueller? J.R. Smith? Was J.R. Smith the second best player? I guess Kevin Love was supposed,
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, you have to say Kevin Love.
He was supposed
to
be.
He was.
But he was never like a great fit with them. It never really, he and LeBron, I thought, was going to be the perfect 1-2 punch because Kevin Love has a great outlet pass and LeBron James runs the floor better than everybody. I thought those guys were going to be unstoppable. It really wasn't the case. But they definitely didn't kill it in that trade. There's no way he killed it in that trade.
No,
and the Celtics would do that trade every time. As frustrated as I am and everybody else is with Kyrie right now, you make that trade every time.
And the book isn't closed yet on the Kyrie situation.
It
like,
is
as
not.
Much as we fans say they want it, like more than likely there's probably a really good chance he's still back
he
here next year.
He could be back.
For the big money.
He could be back for big money.
So
could be.
Or do you want Isaiah Thomas for the last year and 2 years broken?
That poor guy.
No, but that was like the big thing. That was the conversation. So I don't know how anybody thinks the Cavaliers won.
No, because couldn't you have traded Kyrie for, I don't know. Like I'm trying to think what other options were even on the table. Like could you have gotten Devin Booker from Phoenix? Or could you have gotten somebody better that could run with LeBron? And I think LeBron had his mind made up anyway. I think he was probably going to L.A. But if you surrounded him with like a real player, is there any chance he stays? So you did not kill it with the trade.
I don't think he was going to stay anyway.
Probably not. But if you gave him somebody really good, I think you would have at least made it more difficult. When he was looking at that roster, he was saying, no, thank you.
Yeah, you couldn't tell if it was like 2017 or 2007.
It was. It was a very similar roster. So I think Dan Gilbert is out of his mind. Now
they killed it.
Now, the Celtics didn't dominate the trade like they should have. At the time, it was a laugher. Like, they won that trade in a landslide. But they haven't really done a whole lot with it. Now, I will give Kyrie some credit in the last season. He was a big part of them getting the record that they had, which gave them home court and which, you know, helped them get to the NBA conference finals. But unfortunately, he wasn't in the playoffs. Then this year, he was bad in the playoffs. But it's not a deal that you wouldn't do. And again, if Colin Sexton turns into an all-star and we look back on this and say, well, they got Colin Sexton out of this deal, then maybe that helps you down the road.
But they were even expecting a higher pick than, what, eight?
Eight.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
right. You say you want to trade and you get the eighth pick.
You get the eighth pick. It's not like they got Tatum at three or Brown at three or any of these things. You got eighth pick. Yeah, that ended up being the worst of those, well, I guess like the second part of the Nets deals, the Nets picks. Yeah. So I think, I mean, Dan Gilbert's just trying to talk up his team, but they're still an absolute mess.
And he's kind of a train wreck as an owner anyway.
Yeah, he is. Remember when he said he was going to win a championship before LeBron did?
Before LeBron, yeah.
And he like ripped LeBron apart.
That
and he
didn't
almost
quite
didn't
work.
Get LeBron back because of all the things he said about it, but then he still put his tail between his legs and was like, oh, please come back. I love you. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
It worked, unfortunately, too.
I know they want to tie. That's right up there with the perfect season for me. Like the Patriots losing the perfect season and LeBron actually winning in Cleveland are two of the worst moments in sports.
Of your lifetime.
For me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think a lot of people agree with
for
that.
For me. Yeah. For me. Right up there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. Bottom of the next hour. Kiefer Madness, our week in review is coming your way as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.